Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are looking at a thought this week on to be found faithful. It is taken from the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, which says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Yesterday we read the scripture in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 that says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." If we are one day to stand before the Lord and give an account of our life, then we need to understand what would please the Lord. What is he looking for? What it means to be found faithful before him? The scripture gives us an example set before us, and that is Jesus the Christ. He has set forth the pattern of being faithful, of living a life pleasing unto the Father. We can look at his character to better understand what the Lord would desire of us. Multiple times we would hear the Father declare, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is my goal also, as well as yours, I believe, to be found walking faithful before God. To hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servants," to be a son that walks pleasing before our Father. So we can ask the question, what pleased the Father when he looked at the life of Jesus the Christ? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Bible declares that Jesus is our elder brother. Our goal is to be conformed to his image, to walk even as he walked. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 it says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So our desire is to live a life, to walk in such a way that we would walk even as Jesus walked. And when we read about Jesus, we can read these scriptures. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's Luke 2:52. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So when we look at Jesus, he increased in wisdom and stature, and he gained favor with God as the Lord our God would look at his life and see how it is expressed. And then Peter would exhort us to live the same kind of life, to increase in wisdom, stature, to grow in grace, our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, to bring glory unto God and our Father. To do this by being led by his Spirit. And to be led means even when the path set before us would be difficult. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus has been filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And it says this, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." We understand that as he was led into the Spirit, it would be a very difficult time for him. A very trying time for him. But this is what he was going to do. The life he was going to live is led by the Spirit of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it speaks to us, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So it allows us to understand that we need to be led by the Spirit of God, even if it means that it will lead us down a pathway that will be very difficult for us and not of our own choosing. What we see in Jesus is a prayer life that is that really set an example. His disciples would ask him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," because there was something so outstanding about the prayer life of Jesus Christ. The key to Jesus's prayer life is this: not my will, but thine be done. To be a steward, to be a servant, he would need to lay down his will so the will of the Father would be accomplished. What we have to, excuse me, understand is prayer is communication between a man and his God. It's not only an opportunity to pour out our heart to God, but to listen to the Father and find his will and his purpose for us day by day. It is in these moments Jesus would understand what would please the Father: his will, his ways, his purpose. It is in these moments that Jesus would find the strength to lay down his will, to follow the Father's, to be obedient. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." His desire to carry out the Father's will and purpose. This too in the midst of opposition and ridicule and tremendous pressure. We find that he was fully submitted unto the Father. He declares this: "I do nothing unless I see it of my Father first." In his time in prayer and in submission unto the Father, God would reveal his will and purpose unto the Son. And the Son, his desire and his purpose in life was to fulfill the Father's will, to be submitted unto him. And in this submission, we will find great humility. He would say things like, "I can do nothing of myself. The Father is greater than I. Why call me good?" He was the perfect, obedient, humble Son of God. Jesus would say this in John chapter 4 and verse 34. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Oh, how I long to have the same spirit within me, that my desire, the thing that motivates me, that guides my life, is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work, the purpose that he has called me into. This is what I want to do, to be. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus says this: "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." I tell you, it is a beautiful picture of the relationship between God and his only begotten Son. What we see is much more than the oneness Pentecostals would present before us, of God just creating a mask, a tent to dwell in. God truly created a son with his own will in this life. But this son was so humble, so submissive, so obedient that he would lay down his own will, that the Father's will would be accomplished. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 tells us this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And Jesus was our perfect example. He went before us. He desired and fulfilled the will of the Father which is in heaven. He would exhort us that we can be overcomers even as he overcame. He was tempted and tried and tested, yet in every situation victorious. The enemy would come to him to ensnare him, to try to get him away from the pathway that was set before him. But in each and every occasion, we find that Jesus was more than an overcomer. He was our perfect example. Jesus was invested with tremendous authority, and we, as joint heirs of Christ, joint heirs of God through Christ, are also endowed with tremendous authority. And then the question is, what will we do with the authority that we have been given? Will we use it for our own will and purpose, or will we always use it to be submitted unto the will of our Father? Even as Jesus, we see that even as he would reign, it said he would reign throughout the millennial kingdom, but then cometh the end in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he will turn all the authority back into God the Father, that God may be all and in all. He has endued us with power also. We one day will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, but also in this life, we will be endued with power, an ability to fulfill his will and purpose. We understand that a steward has been given authority, he's been given wealth, he's been given power. For what purpose? It is to accomplish what the master would desire. His disciples would meet with him, and he would give them this instruction in John 13 and verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you?" He has lived a life of exampleship to them, but I don't think they've truly caught what he is trying to teach them. So at this last, one of the last moments he has with them, he wants to make sure that they understand his life and his purpose. He says, "You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." Jesus has been endued with power from on high to go about, to do good, to do wonders, to do miracles, to fulfill the Father's will and purpose. And he has been called to be our Master, our Lord. It is God who has made Christ both Lord and Christ. He says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I, then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." He is teaching them about their relationship one with another, to really understand his love. "For I have given you an example," not only at this moment in time, but his whole life was lived this way. "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." We are stewards of the grace and mercy of Christ from God the Father. And he asks of us to live even as he lives, to follow his example. And then in verse 17, he tells us something outstanding that is against the perception of mankind. "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." I tell you, I have found that to be the Lord's servant is more than looking forward to the reward at the end of the journey. It brings me great joy to please the Father. It brings me great joy to walk in the image of Christ. It brings me great joy to serve my brothers and sisters. It gives me great joy to walk even as he walked. What we find, there is a statement that if a man loves what he does, he will never have to work another day of his life. What we find is that that his commandments, they're not grievous, they're not hard. We won't look at him as a hard man that demands much of us. We will truly look at him as our Lord, and a Lord that we love and desire to walk with. It is really to understand the love of God and the love of a man. When we read John chapter 3 and verse 35, it says this: "The Father loveth the Son." Without understanding the relationship between the Father and the Son, we will really never understand this scripture, what it's saying. How is this expressed? The Father loveth the Son. And what does it look like? See, it's more than he could see the value in the Son. He would cherish the life that the Son lived before him. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It really declares unto us the great love that the Father had for us, that he would give his Son for us. In John 15 and verse 13, it says this: "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This is the greatest love that a man could give for another man. But what we understand about God, he is not a man. And the greatest thing that he could do is actually to lay down, to give his son, that his son would be willing to lay down his life for us. We will finish with this scripture and then we will conclude this thought tomorrow. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. If our goal, our desire, is that the Father would be glorified, that we would be disciples of Christ, then we must be purged to bring forth more fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The purpose of the Son is to declare the Father. Our purpose is to be molded and made into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I pray the Lord would bless you with a good day today. Love in Christ Jesus. Amen.